Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Pacific Gas and Electric customers will pay about $300 million over the next 2 years to upgrade and maintain the utility's pipelines after an explosion federal regulators consider the nation's worst in a decade. 2 years ago, a gas pipeline in the San Francisco Bay Area town of San Bruno killed 8 people and destroyed 38 homes. State regulators are demanding a $2 billion system upgrade, and public utilities commissioners say they're trying to strike a balance between punishing PG&E and encouraging it to invest in safety. The utility was asking for more of a consumer rate hike than they got, but survivors of the blast and consumer advocates say the company is being rewarded for gross negligence. The California Department of Public Health has issued fines to 10 hospitals for errors that resulted in serious injury or death in 2010 and 11. The civil fines, ranging from $10,000 to $100,000, include errors like removing the wrong kidney and leaving surgical objects behind in patient guts. Today in Riverside, there's an interesting development in San Bernardino's municipal bankruptcy proceedings. The Inland Empire City faces off before a federal judge with CalPERS, the state agency that manages pension and health benefits for more than 1.5 million public employees, retirees, and their families. Bloomberg News reporter James Nash has been following the story and explains why CalPERS is suing.
Well, what they're trying to do is actually block the city's bankruptcy case. The city filed for Chapter 9 over the summer, and CalPERS is an interested party in that case, just like any other creditor, a bondholder, a contractor, whatever. PERS is the largest creditor of San Bernardino since it does manage retirement for city employees. So they've intervened or joined in the bankruptcy case to challenge San Bernardino's attempts to remove or withhold payments from CalPERS that are legally obligated to the city.
Now, in a bankruptcy, there's usually a short line for special creditors with special claims and a long line for everybody else. Is CalPERS arguing that it should move to the front of the line, that it shouldn't be involved in a line at all?
Yeah, CalPERS is basically arguing that it does take precedence over a simple asphalt contractor, that they're a state agency, they manage retirement for most municipalities in California, and that if San Bernardino is successful in withholding payments that are due to CalPERS, it could encourage other cities to do the same thing. That seems to be the fear on CalPERS' part. More than the issue of San Bernardino in and of itself, they're a fraction of 1% of overall contributions into the CalPERS pension fund. So if San Bernardino were to withhold the entirety of what they owe, which isn't actually what they're trying to do here, it would have a pretty negligible effect on PERS overall. But the concern is we've had 3 bankruptcy filings this year, 2 of which were at least partially driven by pensions. So if San Bernardino is successful here, you could have a dozen other cities filing in the next 12 months, whenever, that might try to use the same tactic.
So what does San Bernardino have to say?
Well, San Bernardino says basically their back's against the wall. They've said, we can't provide basic police and fire services to our citizens and at the same time pay every dime that's owed to PERS and every dime that's owed to a bondholder or to a contractor. And they're saying all those creditors are essentially going to be treated the same way. The city is simply not in a position to afford it. And if you know anything about San Bernardino, it's a fairly crime-ridden area to begin with not great municipal services. And so if it comes down to a choice between providing basic police protection to folks and providing what they consider and what is really a pretty negligible percentage of CalPERS' overall contribution base, San Bernardino says, look, we need to be cognizant of who we're serving here, and those are the 200,000-plus people who live in our city. They take priority over some government agency in Sacramento, however meritorious it is.
So worst-case scenario, from their perspective, CalPERS wins. What's the worst that could happen? Slightly higher interest rates for cities and counties that are borrowing?
Probably, and I think the market does recognize that this situation at the moment anyway is fairly isolated to San Bernardino. I think there is some legitimate fear on the part of the pensions that if San Bernardino is able to withhold a good part of its pension obligation, that might cause some other cities that have been saying we're going to stay out of bankruptcy court by any means possible to reevaluate that stand and to say we might actually find if we can somehow squirm out of, you know, as much pensions are as much as 15% of many municipal budgets in California, if they can find a way to dial back that 15% down to half of that or whatever, that's real money for cities, and it may encourage other cities to follow suit. And like I said, that seems to be the real issue here, more so than just what's happening in San Bernardino.
James Nash is a reporter for Bloomberg News in Los Angeles. We've got a link to his previous coverage on our website, californiareport.org. Tomorrow morning, Bishop Richard Garcia of the Monterey Diocese will offer a massive reconciliation for the Amamutsun tribal band in front of the Old Mission Church in San Juan Bautista. Before an expected crowd of about 500 people, Bishop Garcia will apologize for abuses during the mission era of California, including the enslavement of local Native Americans, forced relocation, and cultural genocide. It's a watershed moment for the Amamutsun, says Tribal Chair Valentin Lopez.
The Catholic Church has never acknowledged the events that occurred at the mission. For healing to be complete, it's important that truth be told. And we believe that this apology will allow us to get back on track and be able to begin the healing that's necessary for our members to be strong and balanced in their life.
Amamutsun will be traveling from all over the state to attend, as well as elders from other tribes and historians and anthropologists from four UC campuses. The public is invited as well. That's the California Report for Friday, December 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller and Howard Gelman. Nina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. We had editing help this week from Polly Stryker. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White and David Marks. Our associate senior producer is Victoria Malione. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com.